pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Yeah. Yes, let me get something off my chest. Pain is a test of the spirit of the flesh, a system of stress. How can I express? Pain is a virtue on the path for the best, a bulletproof vest.
Welcome to No Pain, No Gain. I'm your host, Jay Rook. We are here today with Paul Cousineau, president of the DigitalNavigator.com. Paul, super excited that you are here today. Thanks for being our guest.
It's a pleasure to be here and to serve your audience.
So let's dive straight into what's that funky accent all about.
Well, I'm surprised you detected that.
Yeah, exactly. It's so subtle.
So I'm actually French-Canadian, originally from Quebec.
Uh-huh.
And that's my self-taught English accent.
Impressive. And Quebec City proper?
No, actually, I lived just outside of Ottawa for most of my life.
Oh, gosh.
And then in Quebec, the real estate is much cheaper. So that's where we were.
Oh, funny. Very interesting. You are no stranger to cold.
No, I'm not. And I have visited Quebec City a few times, which is actually icier than the Ottawa region.
Oh, interesting. So I've gone up to Quebec City for winter carnival one time. And I remember buying a cranberry juice at a convenience store, and we were going to walk to a museum that morning. And maybe it was like a 25-minute walk or something like that. The cranberry juice started to freeze in the bottle before we got to the museum. You know, it was one of those crazy cold days. And I'm used to cold. I grew up in New England, went to college in Maine. But I was just like, wow, this is a whole new level of cold.
Yeah, you got a free slush.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. Didn't even have to pay extra. So Paul, tell us about the DigitalNavigator.com.
Well, one of the main things that may interest your listeners is we have a lot of resources on our blog page here and articles, and we focus on businesses that sell digital products, online training, as well as coaching services. And we're all about bringing tools so that people can leverage their time, automate that, and implementing marketing strategy with the tools and software that are available to them.
Yeah. So one of the things that I want to comment on straight out of the gate is especially for anyone that's in a service or knowledge delivery type of business, there's like the expertise that we have that we think is the majority of the business. And then there's the actual running of the business and getting that expertise from your head out into the world and making things work and be profitable. And I think there's still a boatload of knowledge-based solopreneurs that are trying to take on the day-to-day running of the business components to their detriment. And so I'd love for you to chat a little bit about what are the, I'm assuming the executive functioning learnings that clients either need to go on to be ready for you or that you probably help them with, because I'm assuming this is a game changer once they start working with you.
Yeah, and I think there's several elements in that question. What we found is that most of the people that come to us have already started deploying email marketing. It might be social media marketing, could have dabbled in paid advertising, and they've been doing a lot of the tech themselves. And then what happens is that they work with a coach, they buy an online training program from one of the gurus in the field, and they just get stuck on being able to implement it. Or their mastermind, right, gives them a wonderful action plan, and then it just becomes too overwhelming.
Yeah.
So one way to know if you're ready or not is to track your time or that of your team and say, how much time am I spending on tech and troubleshooting and implementation? And if that's at least 10 hours, then we should probably talk.
Interesting.
The second element that you may want to take a look at is how refined your marketing strategy is. What we've been finding is that a lot of businesses get some results initially by themselves. They might be doing, like, let's say, Facebook live streams or setting up a group, and it's starting to work. But then they realize that they're continually exposed to the same audience. So what that means is that there's actual gaps in the process of either getting new eyeballs, engaging with them, converting them, or escalating them to higher tier clients. Right. And that would be another good conversation point.
And what are some symptoms that you're probably seen with business owners that are ready for this type of a service but haven't made the leap yet?
Well, one thing is I asked them, are you doing all this tech and software work or website work because you enjoy it?
Right.
And then they say, no, I do it because I have to do it.
Yep.
And then as a result of that, then I say, well, what if we could take it off your hands? Mm-hmm. And then you could work on something that you like and that is more revenue generating. So that would be something that they're saying, okay. And again, it's a rhetorical question. Most people don't enjoy all that tech time, right? But they kind of do it because they feel like they have to.
Yeah, and then it becomes an energy vampire for them that, you know, crushes the rest of their efforts in the day as well. And one of the other things that we've talked about this as a theme on the show before is that it also corrupts their ability to do their stupid human pet trick, you know, their area of giftedness really well, because they're wasting time and resources over in this arena.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with a coach last week, and he has a $1 million plus business.
Mm-hmm.
He charges over $1,000 an hour for the one-on-one coaching.
Yeah.
And he told me that he's the one that's punching in updates and adding buttons on his website.
Yeah,
it's just like, it doesn't make any sense to me for him to be doing that if his time is worth so much more. And what he does in 4 hours, we could probably do in 15 minutes.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah. So one of the things that I think, yes, this tees your service up really well, but I think what we're talking about at the root here is folks structuring a businesses around their strengths and trying to pay attention to where they spend their time. And I think starting to work with some company like yourself that takes over one of the day-to-day business operating aspects of the job can really teach us how to be more effective in the day-to-day running of our business. And so I'm a huge fan of it. And kind of talking out of the other side of my mouth, what I notice is a lot of folks that do things similar to what you do, whether that's social media management or paid Facebook ads or automating some processes, will tout their business services and say, hey, we can make you guys lots more money. But oftentimes those clients aren't ready to be partnering with somebody like that. So they start throwing, you know, let's call it $500 at a social media campaign when they're 6 months into their business and haven't figured out their avatar yet and their niche offering and things like that. And so it ends up being this massive waste of money and lack of ROI. And it wasn't that that service was a good or bad thing, it's that the timing was off. And so I would love to hear what advice that you have for small business owners as they're starting to grow and ramp up. When do they start to take on service providers such as yourself, and how do they make those leaps?
Well, what I would say is, let's say you're making less than $60,000 or $70,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
I would be reluctant of bringing on a service provider like us. Because yep. What will happen is that we'll just take all your margins, right?
Right.
You'll be doing the work and then we'll profit from it. And that's an honest opinion.
Yep.
Now, it doesn't mean that you can't make operational efficiencies. So what you should be doing at that stage is taking screen recordings mm-hmm. while you do those repetitive tasks. Let's say that you're putting up a blog post or social media.
Yep.
There's a lot of screen capture software you can get out there. Just Google it. And then make mini recordings, and then that can be used afterwards to hire a less expensive VA, a virtual assistant.
Sure.
And then you'll have something to give them, and they can just watch along and reproduce what you did. And that would be a much lower cost alternative.
Yeah, and I just want you to keep talking on that theme, but want to pause here and interject for listeners for a second, which is that I think you just dropped some serious knowledge around, no matter what stage of the business that you're at, be thinking a couple steps ahead and getting ready for those transitions. So, you know, don't say to yourself, well, no, I'm going to do all the books early and that's just part of the process. Like, build these pathways in right from the get-go. They're just good business habits, and it will make you consistently think about running your business with an eye towards scaling and getting you out of your own way versus doing that primary service delivery in front of you. And then the other thing that I notice a ton is that oftentimes solopreneurs will wait until the point of total overwhelm to bring on that support and help. And then it's even harder to make it work then because they have to sit down and write out those standard operating procedures from scratch now. And so it really slows down that baton transfer and makes it way more inefficient. And so I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just think what you just said is super, super important. And there's just a lot of wisdom in starting to do that from the get-go. So please continue.
Well, I do appreciate you emphasizing that. And that's definitely one of the mindset shifts from being employed to having your own business. Because if you were in the workplace and you're taking all these screen captures of routine tasks you're doing, your boss would be wondering, well, what are you doing there, right? That's kind of a waste of time. Because in reality, they're probably going to invest significant amount of time in one-on-one training with any new employee anyway. Yep. But now if it's your business, right, you probably don't have all that extensive time to train someone. And it doesn't take extra effort to click record when you're doing that screen capture and you're working through it. Like, you're not really losing anything out of it.
Yep.
So I think that that's an important reframing for people.
I agree. How about in your own experience? Because I've fluctuated with bringing on the wrong help at the wrong times or buying the wrong services at the wrong times. And as somebody is scaling up, so let's pretend they are under that like 70 grand a year range. And it's the business argument for bringing someone of your caliber on isn't fully baked yet, but they also need help and should start thinking about getting things off their plate and delegating them. Where do you think the lowest hanging fruit is for them? Is that bringing in a social media company? Is that grabbing a virtual assistant? Is it somebody to do a bookkeeper to do QuickBooks? What do you see from where you sit?
Well, I'm going to be biased, but then I would say it's bringing someone like our team. Because what we can do is, one, map out a marketing strategy with you and map out all the assets that you'll want. Now, we may not necessarily be commissioned to create all of those assets, but at least you've got a game plan and you know what you're working towards in the next year.
I love that and hugely want to overemphasize what you just said. Again, you're dropping all sorts of knowledge today, Paul. But the fact that there's this one chef in the kitchen that's quarterbacking the larger strategy, especially if you are a business owner that has not successfully scaled and brought a business over six figures on your own before, there's probably a missing technical kind of knowledge gap there. And so what's going to happen, and I've done this myself for sure, as well as watch lots of others do it, is when there's no main quarterback of the entire strategy or architect, you get a bunch of chefs in the kitchen. And so the social media guy is telling you to do it one way, the virtual assistant team another way, your branding person that you hired another way, and you're way overpaying because there's no synergies in any of the strategies and they're not complementing each other. So it just turns out to be a total wash. So I love what you're saying about one consistent quarterback mapping it out, even if you don't need to buy those things at that moment or get commissioned to do it at that time.
Exactly. And then from there, what our clients that are at that business level enjoy is having some form of ongoing support. Yeah. So with our team, we can assist with automation, with websites, with, you know, paid advertising campaign. Like, we have specialists in our team and you don't necessarily have to commit to one area or the other. You can allocate that differently. And we've got a support line. So you can ask a quick question. You don't have to get stuck. Now, the other thing, which is a different direction you can take, is working with someone that can bring in mindset tips. Because one thing that is inevitably going to happen is there's going to be a drop in revenue. You might lose a $10,000 or $20,000 a year client. So now you're not at 70, you're down at 50K, right? And you're like, oh no, you're freaking out. And that's where that person can help pick you up and then make sure that you don't lose track of the bigger goal and your momentum. Now, that's not something that I'm not a mindset coach, but I still think that that may be valuable to you. And that's something that you have to evaluate, right? Like, how well do you take punches in your life? And, you know, that's sometimes hard to look at.
Yeah. So I like what you bring up, because there's this duality to the growth process. There's learning how to think differently or you know, emotionally process or whatever that is on the one hand, because we're supposedly, you know, going where we haven't gone yet before. So it's new territory for us. And then on the other hand, there's the technical expertise of the know-how of whether that's how to put together a successful funnel or Facebook ad campaign or whatever that may be. And I think once a business gets ready to work with somebody like you, I think one of the main business cases for it is you work with lots of other businesses. So it's like the bee that's pollinating all of the flowers. So you get a better vantage point of what works, what doesn't, taking tricks from this one, learnings from that one, and putting it all together. Whereas the solopreneur that's taking on that quarterbacking typically has had a limited experience in being the architect of a larger marketing strategies like that. And so they tend to do a grab bag approach versus a holistic one. Thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you. And I think that there's something important as well, which is the Achilles heel of growing businesses. So at first, you're just trying to make sales, right? And you're like, hey, that worked. Woohoo, you celebrate it, you move on to the next. But eventually, as you're developing assets, whether it is a marketing funnel, paid campaign, whatever that is, right? You're building actual assets for your company and you're hiring providers. You need to have metrics and data. Mm-hmm. And then use that to make decisions. And a lot of online businesses, regardless of the size, do not have that in place. And that's just similar to running a business without any financial statements, right? You're like, right. Well, do you have cash in the bank or don't you? And what I've seen is people can easily lose $10, $20, $30, $50, $100,000 with a service provider because there's no reporting other than qualitative information. Oh yeah, people are not resonating to that offer. We got to adjust it a little bit. It'll be better next month or things like that. Well, that's not data. That's not factual information.
Yep.
So you should ask your service providers, how are we going to measure the success? And how are we going to know if we need to make adjustments? And I say to all of our clients, we're not going to get it right the first time because we can't predict human behavior. But what we can do is identify the gaps and then make strategies and pivot accordingly. But if we don't have that, it's kind of weird, right? We'd be blindsided and then we could easily lose not only tons of money on expenses, but on lost revenue opportunities.
Yes, all day. Let's do this. Let's do a quick pause and hear from our commercial sponsor, but I want to continue this theme when we come back and talking about how to advise small business owners on buying your types of services. Because I think there's an art to learning how to buy these things and how to think about them. And it'll be a good continuation around this ROI theme. So let's do a quick pause. Folks, we're here today with Paul Cusino, I always mess up the name, of thedigitalnavigator.com. We will be right back after the break. What's up, no pain, no gain listeners? Hey, it's Jay Rook here, and I want to share with you guys a killer resource to really help you up-level your game as an entrepreneur. One of the things that I notice the most about entrepreneurs is that if we're going to go where we haven't gone before, we need to up-level our stress management abilities and our emotional intelligence. Otherwise, we get caught in the same patterns that keep us stuck and held back all the time. You may have heard the adage, we don't have business problems, we have personal problems that show up in our businesses. And when I watch entrepreneurs who are right on the verge of blowing up, the thing that keeps them from breaking through isn't usually a business problem. It's usually them holding themselves back and not being able to get out of their own way. And here's what I know, that for most of you, if you continue on the rate that you're at, you're going to suffer from burnout at some point in time. It ain't pretty. And I know that most of you don't have a personally designed morning routine that systematically gets you in the zone. That's why some days you kill it and you're insanely productive. And then on other days you work for 14 hours straight and get nothing done. So how do you have this breakthrough, right? Like what's your play that you're going to take to bring you and your business to that next level going to be? What if the solution already exists? Listen, I know you've heard by now about the benefits of meditation and proper nutrition and the importance of exercise. And whether you've read it or not, the science and data on how being in flow or in the zones is off the charts on how it increases your creative genius and skyrockets your productivity. But here's the deal. I get it. You're an entrepreneur. You're a business owner. Cash flow and time are two things you don't have a lot of. So, you might be thinking, well, no, Jay, I can't take the time to meditate like a monk. I can't hit the gym like a pro athlete. Do yoga for 2 hours each day, etc. I've got a job to do. Don't have time for these things, right? And so that, my friends, is why I need to introduce you to Kai Van Bodie, He's a friend of mine that has crafted a straightforward system for you to follow that gets you into peak performance state consistently and without having to spend hours working on it. His signature system takes the best practices of ancient wisdom and modern neuroscience and is designed specifically for entrepreneurs, and you can apply it in under 30 minutes a day. Kai's got me working his program right now, and this stuff works, people. I'm already starting to see gains. They came super quickly. It's simple to apply. I feel better more of the day. I'm beginning to lose some weight. My clarity and focus are way up, and my stress level is down. Oh, and another thing that I noticed, I don't get knocked off course as easily as I used to, and I'm in the zone way more of the time. So if you're hustling to get to that next level, I want Kai's program for you too. So here's the deal. Go to entrepreneurpowermastery.com/J. That's J-A-Y. I know that's a mouthful. So go to entrepreneurpowermastery.com/J.
Or text the word discover to 484848. That's text the word discover to 484848.
And we've got some resources and gifts for you. If you go to the website, here's what you're going to get. Kai's going to teach you the most powerful breathwork technique that you can leverage to change your mental and energetic state in under 5 minutes. And Kai's also going to show you where you're sort of leaking the most energy so that you can harness more of your power. And he's going to put on a training to teach entrepreneurs how to get into their peak performance state and double their productivity without burning out in under 30 minutes per day. I can't say enough good stuff about Kai. I highly encourage you to check it out. The breath work alone will blow your mind. And the best part is, these gifts are free. So go to entrepreneurpowermastery.com/J and check it out.
Or text the word discover to 484848. That's text the word discover to 484848.
Thank you so much. And now back to the program. Alrighty, folks, welcome back to No Pain, No Gain, Entrepreneurship Made Real. I'm your host, Jay Rook, and we are here today with Paul Cusino, president of thedigitalnavigator.com. Paul, before the break, we were talking about purchasing, you know, some of these digital marketing services, and you had made this comment that when you bring on new clients, you tell them, hey, we're not going to get this right the first time around. There's going to be a little bit of trial and error, and it's an evolutionary process. And when I was first purchasing these types of services, I thought, well, man, that's BS. Like, I'm not going to just do something so you can play around and experiment. And what I now know, and I'd love for you to comment on this because you have much more experience in this than I do, but it's often a multiple $1,000s trial and error-y type of, you know, it could be a 2 to 3 month process at times, and that it's sloppy and it's iterative. And you spoke earlier to, hey, how does it work when your mindset, you've lost some money or lost a client? And I know on the ascent of my business, when there wasn't a lot of cash flow, taking what felt like financial gambling and like throwing money at Facebook ads to see if they work or not was super uncomfortable for me. And so talk about the mindset of how folks should relate to buying these types of services.
Well, you're bringing up the mindset, so let's tackle that one first.
Yeah,
the mindset should be about calculated risk, mm-hmm. which is what business is really. You're saying, how much money do I have on the line? What am I going to gain if it works out? And how would this be hurtful or damaging to my business if it doesn't pan out? Yeah. Now, if you conclude that if it fails, your business will be under or you'll be lacking cash flow, right, to meet your commitments, don't do it, because the risk is much too high in that scenario.
And quick pause there, Paul. Let's pretend that is how the ROI calculation pans out. I think symptomatically what that sounds like to me is probably a message that, hey, you need to work a little bit more on the infrastructure of your business, whether that means getting your business model down a little more dialed in or getting a little bit more client flow. Yet to me, that symptom then also contains the answer of where that person should look next to fix their business to get ready to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you're lacking cash flow, nothing prevents you from getting the phone, talking to your network, maybe seeing if there's, you know, people that could use your services, good old school method, yeah. rather than going high risk funnel and paying $25,000 to a provider and then hoping it's going to pan out.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, I'm sorry to interrupt again and talk a little bit about that. I feel like it's really shady marketing that's going on in the industry right now around the golden bullet of like, oh yeah, you know, you just, if you just build the funnel right, by the time you wake up in the morning, your bank account's going to be huge. And I think there's not a lot of folks talking about the transparency of how these work. And there's a disproportionate amount of emphasis put on the victory stories and not about on the tens of thousands that get put into these campaigns that never gets any ROI.
Yeah, I agree. And that was the elephant in the room. And I was actually having a conversation with my wife about this week because of the surveys we've been doing. And one of the person told me, I have absolutely no trust in marketers anymore, but I know that I need them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do anymore, right? And it's a very tricky situation. And what happened in that particular instance, he worked with three different providers and none of them were able to provide him with quantitative metrics.
Yeah.
So this goes back to your original question of saying, how do you pick a provider? Well, one of them is, what are the different stages of your strategy and what are the success points? So if we use a funnel as an example, right, which could be an ad, collecting a person's contact information, potentially making an offer follow-up, you know, something like that. Well, the measurement point, the first one is, are people interacting with your ad or not? How is that going? How much is that costing you? Yeah. And there is a very specific data point that you can look at that, and your provider should review that with you. Then you would say, now that they go on my website, are they actually providing their contact information so I can follow up? That would be the opt-in. Is that working or not? So then you can look at the conversion metrics. Are you getting 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10? What does that look like?
Yep.
Then you go to the next stage, but each of those have very important metrics. So our approach, and that's what we recommend to people, is start from the first metric and get that right. There's no point in us working on your sales page if we can't even get a person's contact information.
Right.
And I think that's what happens with that silver bullet, that dream. I mean, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but $25,000 funnels are very popular. And I've met many people that have paid for that.
Yep.
And then there's no optimization. So when we look at it, let's say one of the key steps was attend a webinar. I'm like, well, everything's working, but you don't have a good show up rate. Of course, you're not going to make good sales because there's a leak right now.
Yeah. Your job is very much diagnostician in many ways, right?
Yeah, well, we didn't say that, but I also have a CPA and auditor license from Quebec, which you know, is that process analysis and the metrics and all that.
Sure.
But normally, once you look at the data, you can clearly see what the problem is there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you need to put all that money up front for the whole project. Why don't we get a first victory?
Yep.
And you can look at your business and say, what will help me the most right now? Getting new eyeballs. So that would be the awareness stage. Or is it getting some of those eyeballs to give me their contact information, right? Which would be the convert stage. Or am I looking at engaging more with them to build that relationship? That's another objective.
Yeah.
And then the last one would be the ascend. Am I looking at increasing the quality of service that I'm providing to my existing customers and maximizing that lifetime customer value? Once you pick one of those four areas of your business, then you can have a very limited scope project, a limited budget, assess the risk for that, and then set up metrics for that stage and know how successful or not that's going, and pivot or eliminate it if the provider is really doing a bad job so that you're not going to bleed to death.
Very sage advice there. And I think one of the things that's interesting is as you talk about those testing the waters and seeing if those initial ads convert or whatever that might look like, I love when you said it's a calculated bet. And I think about how folks, let's call it 20 plus years ago, would not think all too much about buying an ad in a newspaper or something like that or in a magazine. And what a huge spin that is relative to you don't really know your feedback. It's tough to track metrics, et cetera. And now we can dial it in and do little test cases for, you know, literally dollars at a time or, you know, tens of dollars and get some feedback and incrementally build an ad versus choosing one thing and then trying to throw it in a newspaper.
Yeah, and a good example of that is we were running an ad for ourselves. We spent about $225. Mm-hmm. There was a few different ad sets. That's on Facebook. And then I looked at the data. I wanted to wait a week, you know, just so I would have something meaningful. Mm-hmm. And then I realized $75 going to a specific audience, they're not enjoyed by content at all. So then I killed it. Okay, well, burned $75 there. Now the $150, the rest of the budget, is doing quite well.
Yeah.
And then those are the type of ads that I'm continuing to run. I'm using that similar audience. And what I found is they much more enjoy my blogs with in-depth information and how-tos.
Yep.
And then having the ability there to provide the contact information rather than leading them straight to a landing page, mm-hmm. which I'm asking them for the information, like for their contact in exchange for a resource. So I mm-hmm. just killed the landing page ad. That's all I did.
Smart. And one of the things I want to call out is just the fact that these conversations are occurring. So when you were saying, hey, is the breakdown at initial interest? Is it at conversion? You know, what's going on? And then looking at the ROI of the metrics and everything that goes into that. That exercise onto itself is an exercise that most solopreneurs never take the time to do because they're just so many plates are spinning and they're so busy on the primary running of the business and that they don't ever get these metric insights and strategies that come from the data that somebody like yourself is pouring over. And so there's also just value in starting to learn those triggers of the business as indicators of where to work on next.
Yeah, and there's another area that we don't deal with directly, which is the sales conversation. Mm-hmm. A lot of businesses have to talk to their prospects to actually present their offering. Mm-hmm. And that could be the hole in your system. So I've had a client where he said, "All you're bringing us tons of traffic, tons of leads, but I can't close them right now. I'm having an issue with that," right? Mm-hmm. So whether I'm the one helping them or not, which in this case is not me, right? We need to address that because that's the hole in their business. And if that's you listening, I really want you to think, how is my sales conversations going? Because that's where the mindset and that aspect of your person plays into it. Because if you're not confident, if you're not sure the energy you're putting out, that will be perceptible by the other person that you're talking to. And I'm telling you, it will decrease your chances of closing a sale.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting to me as well. Just taking the time to kind of reflect on these types of matters for business owners to say, okay, like where is the hole in the business? And I guess we're going to keep our play off of a water analogy here. What I like about a business like yours that can open the faucet so that we start to get some water flowing. Now, once the water's flowing, we can figure out where it's draining and which spots and act accordingly. But when we're not getting that water flowing, it's a lot more of a crapshoot. And so I see people spending their money, let's call it anachronistically, you know, it's like non-sequentially in the right areas on their business because they don't have the water flowing yet. So they don't know where the leaks are. So it's this hodgepodge of buying business services or business providers or coaching programs or, you know, whatever the this week's, you know, get rich overnight program du jour is. And so having that flow going, I think is super important.
Yeah. And I feel too, having good communication with mm-hmm. your service providers, being able to be honest and lay down the gauntlet and say it as it is,
yep.
is really good because most people that do a good job at selling will focus on the benefits and the end goal rather than the features.
Yes.
But that can also mean that they could trick you in a way because they're saying, you know, everything you want to hear about your goals, but then they may not actually be able to deliver that. So yeah. by being able to have that communication, feeling comfortable asking questions, if you ask what's going on, right, or you have concerns and they're brushing you off, that's an alarm signal immediately.
Right.
Like, should be wondering why are they brushing me off here and they're just telling me to focus on the price, which I've seen numerous times.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, let's do this. I want to hear, you know, we talked a lot about digital marketing and how our listeners can leverage this and better get engaged with it and learn how to consume the services properly. What I'd love to do is take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, let's hear about your own entrepreneurial journey coming from Quebec and founding the digitalnavigator.com. And what some of your challenges along the way have been. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome.
Awesome, folks. Let's do this right after the break. I'm here, Jay Rook, No Pain, No Gain, here today with Paul Cozzino. We will be right back after our commercial sponsors. What's up, everybody? Jay Rook here. Hey, when I'm not interviewing entrepreneurs on No Pain, No Gain, I serve as a business coach. Overachievers hire me to accelerate their learning curve as they transition from employee to entrepreneur. Because the reality is that most virgin business owners waste valuable time figuring it out and run out of money before the business becomes profitable. How do I know this? Because I'm a former attorney who later worked in corporate, and I've got a few fails under my belt. Like the time when I tried to leave corporate and I launched my own restaurant, which quickly turned into an involuntary nonprofit and I lost everything. But that's a story for another day. But you know, when I'm working with these folks, what I do is I help my clients learn how to think like entrepreneurs and avoid the common pitfalls of first-time business owners. Bottom line, when they're laying it all on the line and failure isn't an option, I help them realize their dreams before they lose their savings and their sanity. Most of my clients wanted to launch their own business for a long time. They desperately don't want to fail, and they need to launch their business. Like, it's in their bones, and they won't be complete until they try to prove it to themselves as to whether they could do it or not. Main benefits of working with me are that my clients have a trusted advisor that has their back and removes the isolation of entrepreneurship. We get their business up and running with the proper fundamentals and market strategy in place. And in becoming a successful entrepreneur, they grow into the person they want to be. Imagine if you could move through the world as a successful business owner. What would that be worth to you? If you're interested in seeing if we're a fit to work together, visit my website at jayrooke.com. That's jrook.com. And you can check out my mastermind group and one-on-one coaching opportunities and learn about retaining me for speaking engagements. Thanks for listening, and I sincerely appreciate all of your referrals. And now, let's head back to the show. Welcome back to No Pain, No Gain. We're here in our final segment today with Paul Cozzino, president of thedigitalnavigator.com. So Paul, we've talked a lot today about a lot of business building tips, mainly around digital marketing as a discipline and service providers, etc. Tell us about your ascent and how you founded this business and what kind of your path was like along the way.
Sure, I'd love to. And it's an interesting journey because initially when I started off in business, I had a lot more spiritual services and I was catering to a completely different audience. And then I learned a lot of the tools for online marketing because I felt it was very critical for my business. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is I was actually working on five-figure sales right out of the gate. And I was successful in that, but I realized that I was extremely anxious and stressful. Like, it was so hard because if I didn't make a sale, then it meant I wouldn't have money for the next few months.
Yeah.
And I had to really look at my business model and my health and see what do I want to do and what flows with my personality. Mm-hmm. So today, I don't actually push five-figure sales. Oh, it's a completely different business model and business area.
Yeah.
For that reason alone, because it was too stressful. Now, I had to take a pause in my business journey due to immigration in the United States. It was a joyful event. I got married. But then there was some challenges with obtaining the rights to work.
Yeah.
And I had to wind down my previous business because of it. It turned out to be a blessing, actually. Yeah. So this goes to the start of the Digital Navigator. I joined a mastermind.
Yeah.
And when I was there, I was explaining the system that I was using in my previous business.
Uh-huh.
Automations, membership tagging, the marketing, everything. And I'm like, I'm ready for my relaunch.
Yeah.
And the mastermind member said, can you help me do that for my business?
Uh-huh.
So I agreed to it. And then I had multiple new clients. So I never relaunched the spiritual business.
Oh,
and
no.
That was the start of the Digital Navigator. And it was one of the new clients that says, hey, Paul, you're kind of like this online navigator, like a digital navigator of some sort.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, that's the perfect name.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right. So a lot of your work is very tactical. Talk to me about this transition from the initial spiritual business to what you're doing now. It sounds to me like for the average bear, that would have been almost like a step backward. And what I mean by this, I'm curious where the passion connects in your current work and how you bring that into alignment with that desire for the spiritual growth of your other job.
Yeah. So my spiritual growth, I've decided to keep that in my personal sphere. I travel to Peru usually multiple times a year with my wife. We do spiritual pilgrimage there. I have a spiritual mentor that helps me guide me through my practice. Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel like I need to do that as a business function or in that capacity. Yeah. And I had to really evaluate that. I mean, we had a podcast, it's still available, The Spiritual Voice. Yeah. And there, if you tune in to The Spiritual Voice, you'll get kind of like a flavor of the spiritual Paul. But that moved to my personal sphere. Now with the business aspect, I realized that I have deep enjoyment in strategy. That's what brought me to getting my CPA license. I'm very analytical and calculated, hence all the data that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm system and process driven. So I'm the kind of kid that I would play video games all night with SimCity or iRobiz Supersonic Jet managing an airline company. And I'm like 6 years old, you know, like crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what I found is that a lot of the marketing strategy and the tactical stuff of creating like memberships and online courses and automation is like a version of that video game.
Yeah.
And I made that direct analogy. So this is just like Aerobee Supersonic Jet, mm-hmm. different industry. And now instead of adding currency to this weird video game account, it's actually making money in my physical bank account,
right.
But it's coming in and the reports are the same as it would be in that game.
Interesting.
And they even had a board of advisors in that airplane management game and they would have different functions and stuff. So that's by advisors and by real business. It's really bizarre how I've been able to transfer that gamer aspect to my business.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is important to say, but I also made a personal decision to no longer play video games because it was such a massive time suck and it was like an addiction.
Yeah.
And now I've transferred it to my business, but I still have to put limits to my hours because the addiction still is a bit there.
Interesting. So for those of us out there that might be workaholics that may be listening, how do you get awareness so that you can self-regulate and kind of know when you're starting to come up around that addictive level? Like, I guess a probably consistent question for you or challenge for you is something around like, when is enough enough and being able to shut it off and go and feel satisfied and be present.
Well, for me, I would say that my wife helps me with that. Uh-huh. So when she leaves for the weekend, then workaholic mode kicks in. I'm like, this is amazing. I can pack in an extra week of work that weekend.
You're too funny.
She's at home. So then she says, Paul, I want to spend evenings with you. I want to spend weekends with you. And I do ask for lead time if we're going to go on trips or we have other activities. And I regulate myself with my calendar. So even in my calendar, it says, Paul, you should go meditate now.
Yeah.
Okay. Following the calendar, going to go meditate. And I need that self-regulation.
Yeah.
Because I can't myself. If I don't have that warning, it'll be like 9 p.m. and I'll still be working and I won't have eaten.
Right. And you sound like you have very good self-awareness and like self-navigation as well as the digital part. Can you talk at all about some of the work that you've done on the personal side in parallel with your business journey?
Yeah, meditation is an important part of that. Mm-hmm. I have done like an 8-week program with mindfulness-based practices.
Yep.
And that is all about noticing, like when you're eating, when you're walking, when your moods are changing. What's one thing you didn't like today? What's one thing you like today?
Yep.
All about those shifts and those movements. Now, I have also done Vipassana 10-day silent meditation retreats.
Oh, wow.
I've done those trips to Peru and the spiritual pilgrimage. We normally go for 2 or 3 weeks. And
could I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, sure.
We've been having themes on the podcast a lot recently around self-care and meditation and going deep and a lot of these topics, which historically have been reserved to you know, let's call them like the yogis and the meditators of the world, and like almost like a whole woo-woo subculture of people that, you know, were deemed as non-workers or non-entrepreneurs. And now what we're starting to see is the opposite of folks looking for higher performance and starting to bring some of these things in. Can you talk at all for the listeners out there who are saying, no, I need to work harder. I need to work on the business more. I need to work in the business more. I don't have time to either meditate or take those trips. I'm curious if your experience was that in doing those, it made you a better business person or made you have better decisions. And if so, what your tale has been like from those experiences?
A very good practical example is when I go to Peru, mm-hmm. either in the jungle or in the mountain, there is no internet, mm-hmm. just not available. Yeah. So I have to rely 100% on my team while I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And this leads me to prepare, to document, to use project management tools, standard procedures. And then when I come back, I'm like, what went well? What didn't go well? Mm-hmm. And then those are areas of improvement in the business. Now for you, it may not mean going into the Amazon for 3 weeks, right, yep. as a first test. But let's say you're working 7 days a week. What would happen if you didn't work one of those days or two of those days? How can you make the business continue without you? And that might just mean getting a virtual assistant for an extra 5 hours and then building that trust. Mm-hmm. But I do think that you need that time away from the business to test the business. And this is going to come from my CPA background. If you're not able to leave the business and the business function, what you have honestly is worth nothing. Yes. Because no one will ever buy it. Because it means that it's not a business, it's just a job. Yes. And that's the real test to what you're building. So if you're really building a business, then it is your duty to do that. And it is working on the business. And if you're afraid of doing the test, then I would say that's where we go back to that mindset angle, yep. right? Why are you so afraid of doing the test and then working through that? I think it is imperative that you're able to have the business function without you for at least a small period of time.
Yes, I am loving every single word that you're saying right now. And listeners, I would probably rewind the last like 45 seconds to 2 minutes or so. I think Paul dropped a lot of really good nuggets there that are just really dialed in and insightful. Paul, unfortunately, our time is wrapping up. Tell us about what you're working on next.
Yeah, so we're working on scaling more of our services for building on online training courses, mm-hmm. memberships, and platforms that you can own as a business owner. So we're not talking Kajabi. We're not talking Udemy. There's a lot of problems with those platforms
yeah.
when it would come time to sell your business. And that would impact negatively your valuation.
Right.
I don't want to go into all the details of what those problems are. You can reach out, you know, if you want more of the details. Yeah. But that's what we're working on, is being able to create assets in your business that are repeatable, whether it's on the marketing side, on the fulfillment side, having the proper metrics that any investor would want mm-hmm. so that we can help scale your business. We're targeting right now about 300 to 500K annual revenue yep. with that new service to bring them to that $1 million platform. Although we do work with entry level businesses, which are like 60, 70K. And we talked about that earlier in the interview, right. But that's really like our focus cool. right now on those platforms.
And so to that end, how can listeners follow you?
They can find me at thedigitalnavigator.com. On there, you'll see a live chat. It'll either be me or someone from my team. Say hi, and you could say, I want to talk to Paul. We have a contact form there. We've got blogs and great resources. And that would really be the best way to reach out.
Awesome. Paul, on behalf of myself and all of our listeners, I want to thank you for your time today. As you can sure appreciate, all of these episodes are organic and different. And I just want to say I particularly enjoyed how the conversation unfolded today, and I think brought up a lot of bright and shiny truths for entrepreneurs out there.
I appreciate the opportunity, and you've been a wonderful host to me. This has been a great time, Jay. And I also want to thank your listeners, because they're the reason that we're able to actually do this. And if you do have any questions to Jay or myself, please feel more than comfortable to reach out to us.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. We'll have all of your website and URLs and that good stuff in the show notes. Listeners out there, thank you so much for being here. I'm Jay Rook signing off today on No Pain, No Gain, with special thanks to our guest, Paul Cozzino, the founder of thedigitalnavigator.com. Cheers, y'all. Until the next episode.
In this world today, it's no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.